Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the latest and greatest episode of the official Dom J Radio Show, hosted by yours truly, man. How y'all been? I know it's been a minute. I hope y'all are doing well, man. It's been a wild summer, to say the least, even if you've been still social distancing and keeping it on the low like myself. It doesn't mean life stops being life, so we're going to jump into all the latest news, entertainment, and sports right after this. Litter boxes, toilet exteriors, tubs and shower walls, finished hardwood, sealed granite, stainless steels, got a mess? New 40% thicker cleaning, 2 times better Clorox disinfecting wipes can get the job done. They kill 99.9% of virus and bacteria, staph, E. coli, MRSA, salmonella, strep, kleb, kill cold and flu viruses, all of that with Clorox disinfecting wipes. This episode's spoken word segment is a PSA of sorts, a public service announcement. To the youth, adults are just children who grow up to make more expensive mistakes. The same things you may be chastised for, they too can lack. Emotional intelligence, selflessness, and the foresight to understand how their choices will impact others are qualities that don't automatically accrue with age. Trust yourself and love yourself more than anything. Free game to the youth. I want to start this segment off saying it's important to vote. I'm not saying that because it's catchy. I'm saying it because it's essential, and voting in your local elections is even more important than voting for the president. Now, I'm fortunate enough that the neighborhood I live in, my voting and polling place is literally around the corner. I rode my bike to it. If you follow me on social media, I rode my bike to the polling place so I can make sure I did it, got my sticker, and rode off feeling quite happy just a few months back. So it's something I take pleasure in, and I have the ease of access of doing. But if we're getting to one of the biggest problems, while we can't be going again to the past, we have to be moving forward, trying to make things better. You'll see that there's all this sort of redlining and gerrymandering going on when it comes to people's access and ability to voting places. Yes, we've all been dealing with the coronavirus in some capacity this year. That's a fact. But what we shouldn't have to do is, when it comes to still being able to vote for your primaries, is that all of the important districts where you have a lot of minority populations, they shouldn't be forced to have singular polling places that have restrictions on time and then have no leniency. We have to insist on people just staying in line. Staying in line, don't get out of line if the polling place is closing because you have your local officials pleading and trying to make things be accessible when you have lines wrapped around the buildings. Voting and making sure we're all ready to do this as we should routinely throughout the year, that should be an easy sort of thing for everybody. Again, this seems to be like one of those simple things, right? To me, it just sounds simple. Yeah, we say we want everybody to vote, that voting is important, so everybody should have easy access to doing so. Doesn't matter where you live, it should all be the same. That's equality. But as soon as something goes awry, like a pandemic, or even without a pandemic in place, these sort of issues still curtail as to the conditions of voting precincts being, you know, underfunded in certain parts of the city. Why that is, I mean, look, that's a whole nother thing. My moment right now is just, again, insisting that everybody know where you vote. Know where that is and make sure you're doing it year-round. I'm fortunate enough that one of the, you know, the things they do here in Florida, if I'm ever giving Florida small credit for something, I guess I give them credit for this. Once you voted, you then are getting material throughout the year in the mail about upcoming elections. Very, very important. It's something I appreciate. I really don't be checking my mail that often because usually it's just a bunch of BS, but that's always something I'm looking for when voting season is upon me. And so I want everyone to have that sort of collective consciousness. If you already have it, congratulations, continue. Please continue to also spread the word about it. And people should be knowing when local elections are taking place. You should be knowing when the school board meetings are convening like they have here recently. School's around the corner, y'all. If you listen to the last episode of the pod, I have my sister-in-law on discussing the importance of virtual education as the school year was winding down. And a couple months later, here we are. Everybody's having to have board meetings to decide what is the collective future for us going into the fall. Now, the president says he wants everybody in school to get back to normal, open 5 days a week, making that law. Okay, would seem like an earnest thing. You understand how it was a reactive sort of situation, in the spring to go virtual as needed and shut everything down immediately. But for it to be possible for you to just some months later return to schools as if that was the normalcy in the midst of a global pandemic with an ever-evolving virus, as it's a novel virus again, you would have had to have made sure you batted 1,000 in between now and then. And the U.S. has not been batting 1,000, y'all. We all know every city, state, even counties are doing their own things during this pandemic time, whether it be as far as enforcing mask mandates, whether it be enforcing social distancing policies in public. Everybody was doing their own fucking thing, and it's been nothing but chaos. Just now, or really just in the last 48 hours, the governor of Georgia decided that he was going to bring to court mayors of various cities that had mandated masks in public places. He thought they were overstepping boundaries because he didn't want it to be mandated. Like, word, bro. You don't want the mayors making decisions that seem to be in the best interests of the people that they live with. You just assume if they're not in line with what you're doing, then obviously it can't be the best thing for public health. And that's one of those issues where it's, again, okay, yeah, you're trying to guise it and disguise it as if you're doing it in the interest of getting everybody back to work. That's cool, man, but some people have social distance jobs and they've been able to do them, but then other people and the companies they work for may not have been able to yet make those things exist in the capacities that they need to have said normalcy, quote unquote. So you can't just try and guilt people into everything just needs to go back and look normal. Like, yeah, if I just suggest wearing it, I'm sure everybody will wear it. Like, come on, man, you know damn well people won't do things in this sort of mass collective fashion because it's been politicized. Just wearing masks, like, stupid concept. If you want to know how stupid it is, just ask kids. They'll tell you straightforward. Kids have no problem telling people the truth on basically anything. It's an easy thing to just do. Just wear a mask so other people don't get sick, even if you're not sick. Again, if you listen to the last episode of the podcast, I had to get into this governor's ass about not understanding how asymptomatic people could still pass along the coronavirus. So he's not the smartest individual anyway. So is this a real surprise to me? No. DeSantis here in Florida isn't too much better anyway. I mean, he and the mayor seem to be on different pages when it comes to mandating masks. We're not mandating masks. We're opening things. We're opening some things. Like, it's a whole lot of nonsense going back and forth. But I digress. It's important to vote. I want all these people out of office. Every last one of them. The mayor, the governor of the neighboring state of Georgia. Because Florida and Georgia seem to just be in these battles sometimes of, no, I want to be the dumbest state. No, I want to be the dumbest state right now. Or I want to do something collectively stupid that's not in the best interest of people during a global pandemic. No, it's my turn to do it. It's crazy. Cases are on the rise again because, again, just try to open everything back up and, you know, suggest that people wear masks. And, of course, they'll do it. No, they won't, bro.
They're not going to socially distance. They're going to try and go back to their normal lives because they felt that they've been cooped up too long and it drove them socially crazy. And then you see, oh, wow, cases are rising because we're doing more testing. That's an inaccurate statement. Cases are on the rise. True statement. Cases are on the rise and the positive rate of infection is on the rise. That's not because you're doing more testing. That's because people are gathering together and not socially distancing. Unfortunate circumstance, but I just hate to have to put it in such a truthful fashion when you just be hearing these dumb things around you and people just try and pass that off like it's just run of the mill. This is public health we're talking about. That's like pertinent that we get that correct. People understand, and it's directness exactly the causal links that are real. How you gonna lie about that sort of thing is beyond me. But again, back to why it's important to vote. People will just be on TV talking all this kind of bullshit, man, and expect you to buy it. Nah. We're not sheeple like that. And we're not going back to it anyway. Vote these people up out of here. Okay, so we got that established, right? Voting is important. It's very, very important if you really want to enact change on a local level to then be able to impact change nationally. We got to do our collective part locally. So, solution-wise, what could we do, man? I don't know, dumb. What about, this novel idea, voting by mail, which is, I'm joking when I say that. It's not a novel idea. You've had states who voted completely by mail before in different elections. You've had, states that are progressive on certain things, like Washington. Oregon's done it. Colorado's done it. Hawaii's done it. Okay, it's a system of absentee voting. That's one thing. Voting by mail, though, is another thing that, again, could be done in some sort of government force system. Because I think, again, if the government will send you other things in the mail, like, I don't know, stimulus checks, you know, let's see. I think they might be able to then have a concerted effort in establishing some sort of system to where voting by mail wasn't this, easily fraudable thing. Like, if the government will send you all other sorts of important documents, they'll take your taxes, they'll send you notices about your taxes if you haven't paid them, you know? And especially right now, when you say it's still important, right, that people socially distance, right, still working on getting these coronavirus cases down, solving it, coming up with some sort of vaccine. So you want to keep people safe, right? That's what you would say, right? One of the things you might be considering as an option. Because again, we all know it could be done. It's been done before. This would be a plus if you think about it. Hey, you can vote by mail and that ensures that all Americans, because again, you say you want everybody to be able to vote, right? You know what I mean? Everybody should be voting. If it just came to you in the mail, you could fill it in, somehow sign for it to verify that it's you doing it, not some deceased relative, or some. It's not a sort of fraudulent process where somebody is going through your mail for that. It could be done. That would increase voter turnout. It'd be really easy just get in the mail with the provided envelopes. Because again, the government sends you important information, important documents in the mail if you haven't already regularly, you know, gotten mail. If you're hearing this, you don't get mail. I don't know how that is unless you're a kid or something and kids don't get mail or whatever, what have you. But if you're, you know, if you're aware, if you're a responsible person, you pay taxes, you have responsibilities financially, the government sends you important things in the mail. But then you look at things, and I have to take this back into the consideration. The United States Postal Service is also under attack for some godforsaken reason. Defunding the Postal Service because they won't just collectively hike prices on people, even though they've been an essential worker and will always continue to be an essential entity. They're under attack during this time. Crazy concept, man. Leaving them alone doesn't seem like a hard thing to do, man. Why, how you against the U.S. Postal Service, man? Anyway, but back to voting by mail. Easy concept, man. It would increase voter turnout, would remedy people being neglected, feeling like you were clearly trying to not have them vote because your polling locations were reduced in only specific parts of your city or your county. So again, y'all, it's important to vote. Collectively gives everybody a voice, which is important. Now, I mean, it's not important, though. Let me say this. It's not important if you don't want all those voices to be heard, because maybe those voices have different opinions that aren't the status quo and could therefore upset a lot of things. You know, that's just me if I'm looking at it from two sorts of perspectives, why you wouldn't do that sort of thing. But again, hey, I ain't the smartest person in the room. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say I got it all figured out, but there's some basic concepts that I think a good number of people can agree on that seem to be, I don't know, just sort of disillusional for some people. It's beyond me, and I'm speaking facetiously. So I wanted to start this episode off by saying we want justice for Breonna Taylor's murders. We want justice for Elijah McCain. We want justice for George Floyd. We want justice for Vanessa Guillen and countless others. And I don't think saying something like that is a political statement. I don't think saying something like Black Lives Matter is a political statement. Any opposition to it is... I like to give people the benefit of the doubt in some instances and say that that opposition comes from a place of ignorance. You know, you'd be so surprised... Potentially, let me say that. You might potentially be surprised at what people subscribe to as far as what they choose to be willingly ignorant about and what they just choose to assume as fact. Okay, so sort of unpacking that, I think it's important to delineate that the Black Lives Matter movement isn't about Black lives being more important than other people, nor is it an inaccurate statement to say that we are disproportionately murdered at the hands of civil police officers in proportion to everyone else. Now, if you listen to the orange man in charge, was recently asked about that question. Why is it Black people are still getting murdered in such a fashion by police? And he had the response that white people are also being murdered by police, which is true. It is true. More white people are also being murdered by police, which, if that is the case, then we should all be saying that we need to defund police, need to consider ways of intervening and not hyper-militarizing them with these over-expensive budgets that cripple other social needs for cities, such as mental health awareness, after-school care, at-risk youth facilities. All of these things that a city has to decide what pieces of the pie and how much of said pie go where. And you'd be surprised if you look at your city's budget for how much the fucking police are eating out of that pie. Now, it's disproportionate when we say Black Lives Matter and we're, you know, saying we're tired of being shot by police because, yes, we're a minority population. And so if you're looking for a one-to-one ratio, first of all, that's an asinine concept when it comes to civilians being murdered by other paid civilians, by tax-paying citizens. And it's disproportionate because, yes, white people are also killed by police because there are also more white people. So it's going to look like, from a, you know, simple mathematical perspective, that more white people are killed, but it's disproportionate because minorities and other people of color make up a smaller percentage of the U.S. population. Basic math right there, basic little breakdown for those that might not really understand. So again, I'm not talking about Black lives being more important. This is a proportionate statement saying we're tired of being needlessly murdered in the streets by police. We're tired of the injustices when it comes down to sentencing. We're tired of the profiling that exists and puts people in these places in the first place. I don't think it's wrong to want a country to do better. Well, what exactly is a problem with saying we're not finished? we haven't gotten to the precipice, if you will, of what a country that claims to be the best in the world could be. You think it's already been maximized, or you think a step in a backwards direction to some old sort of living and lifestyle in which more people that aren't just your typical, you know, typical white people can benefit? Is that a crazy asinine statement? That women may want to move forward, which they're still having debates on what women should do with their bodies and in politics. I know it's a crazy concept, but we're in 2020 and that still seems to be something a bunch of old white dudes think, you know, we need to convene and govern on as far as women's rights with their own bodies. Crazy concepts like that, man. If we're as forward thinking as a people that we claim to be, these should be times of unification. And I think I have to stop here and give credit where credit is due. After the heinous murder of George Floyd, we did see in Minnesota, you know, it was a sort of a reawakening, I feel like, a collective between not just those impacted and obvious minorities, not just us, but also young white people and even older white people being tired of the shit. If you're an older person, you've seen segregation. You've seen schools having to be desegregated. You've seen the civil rights era. You've seen how far we have come and how far we haven't in that same capacity. That in itself is a history lesson. And people are upset and think we're trying to wipe out the past. No, there's no wiping out of the past, man. That's how that works. As time goes on, the present becomes the past and the future becomes the present. What we are doing is trying our best to remember the past and not continue to do the same cyclical things over that become generational curses, that become generational, you know, deficits that are still the same, even though we may be some odd 20, 30, 40 years removed from when we thought we had made substantial progress. I think that's the sort of perspective. We're not saying, again, that anyone's lives matter any more than anyone else's. What we're asking for is equity and equality. What we're asking for is, from a collective perspective, the police seem to be a little out of control. All this money that they're getting, and they still can't seem to understand how to de-escalate situations rather than, I'm going to just go ahead and kill somebody today. And they should be held accountable. There shouldn't be any sort of rights that they have that alienate them from being treated like anyone else who murders somebody, whether that be in the line of duty or otherwise. These are the sorts of things that we're trying to move towards when we say defund the police, man. Because again, I really do hope, if you're listening to this, that you look into your city's public spending. That's public information. You can always check that out at your local website for your city, usually just typing in the name of the city.org and a little Google search from here or there to find it out. And you'd be surprised how much your county, your district may not be spending on public entities outside of policing. You'd be surprised. Typically when it's time for cuts to things, cuts to budgets, schooling and healthcare are the things that get cut instead of hyper-militarized police. Now, that should be a crazy concept. We all say that children are our future, right? And how come we're always proactively cutting from the ability of teachers to educate said children? You think teachers are underpaid and overworked already, and you want to continually slash their budget every time we need to move some funds around? It's a crazy concept, man. There should be no police forces in this country. I repeat, no police forces in this country outside of the U.S. military that should have military-grade weapons. We have police divisions that have military-grade tanks, armor, guns, all of this for what? For use on other civilians, on other Americans? What sort of sense does that make? I ask that in an unbiased, apolitical fashion. Doesn't really matter what side of the fence you're on. If you're looking at something from a common sense perspective, the budget is just disproportionate. The amount of spending that doesn't go towards mental health activities, that doesn't go towards building up dilapidated buildings in cities that could be repurposed and better serve the community to help, let's say, help out homeless people, possibly help out at-risk youth more, possibly embolden and empower teachers more because they don't have to go out of their already reduced salaries and spend supply money out of their own pockets. This is just what I would consider basic principles, you know, things that I seem to understand and hope for. And that's why I speak on them in such a way, because it just makes sense to me, versus just allowing the police to run rampant and do whatever the fuck they want. It seems like an easy concept to understand, but again, I don't want to disrespect those that may just be coming around to it for the first time. But if you are, again, I suggest you look at your city and the city's budget and how they're spending on things when it comes to education, healthcare, and the police. You might be pleasantly or unpleasantly surprised. Getting back to trying to, of course, provide some solutions to these problems that I've been discussing, these concerns as a conscious citizen that I have, that I know others have, and of course, always trying to say, how can we move things forward? That starts with accountability and acknowledgement. Okay, if we're wondering, if we're reflecting on why do things seem to potentially stay the same and will stay the same for so long in this country, what could be the cause of that sort of lifestyle? What could be causing the same inequality conversations, the same civil rights conversations in the 21st century that plagued us in the 20th century? Now, you might think, I don't know, it's just sort of happenstance, maybe, you know, just people never change or something like that, man, okay. Yeah, you could take that approach, or we could look at it and delve into it a little deeper and understand that systemic issues are prevalent in this country. Now, one of them being systemic racism, if I'm just keeping it a buck. That's gonna be one of them. That should be sort of obvious, but again, that's assuming you believe things are systemic and not just taking them at this sort of facetious face value of, you know, this is an isolated incident. Nah, man, these things aren't isolated incidents. We're not dealing with the cliche, quote, a few bad apples, end quote, here and there. That's not how we're going to perpetuate and fake like that's the truth. That's not. Now, this is some sort of truth where you have racism at every sort of level. Yeah, we've had Barack Obama be president. That was great. That was cool, man. A black man be president. And then to be reelected. Beautiful, beautiful moments. It means for brown and black children that look like me, you can see yourself being president. Now, we're still waiting for that to happen for women. Because again, you know, still haven't seen that. Had a woman who won the popular vote, still didn't become president because of some systemic thing we believe in called an electoral college, where even if the people in a city vote a certain way, their elected official and representative could then turn around and vote a different way. Luckily, we just struck down that you can sue that person, so that's nice. But still, the fact that you have 100 million plus people voting, and then you essentially say, oh, that was cool, man, that's cool, we'll just put that number up on stage and show everybody, but it doesn't mean anything. That's crazy. The Electoral College, it's a fucking scam, bro. Education, again, man. Employment, looking at things that you might want to make systemic changes to if you're really trying to build something that has more equity and equality for everybody. Looking at those sort of systems, the criminal justice system, where you have, again, minority population, like black people make up, you know, let's not even just say black people, black males. Let's take it even further. Black males make up 13% or so of the population, but 40% of the prison population. Now, that's a clear disproportionate amount, because I said two different numbers. I said 13, and then I said like 40, you know. And again, these are sections within your general population. Healthcare, man. surveillance. I don't even want to get into surveillance and the disproportionate ratios with people being pulled over. Like I said earlier, profiling, man. Black drivers, whether you be a male or a woman, 30% more likely to be pulled over. That's a systemic problem, man. Systemic. Because again, if we're really getting into the nitty-gritty of how do we make change, we're talking systemic changes, systems that have to change. That's real forward progress, forward motion. That's something to get behind. Not going backwards, undoing progress, alienating immigrants as if this country wasn't founded by immigrants who had stolen it from other people that were native to the country. We're talking systemic issues, man. That's all I'm saying. So again, solution-based thinking, discussing things that concern me. You all know, everybody knows I'm involved in education, so that matters to me. I got a little sister who I know is going to be smarter than me and my other sibling, and I want the best for her, and I want to see things sustainable and appropriate for somebody growing up in her generation when it comes to education. So it's important, again, to know what people in your school board and your district are doing to ensure the safety of not only the students this fall, but those that have to be around students. Think about it, man. If you're like me, when you grew up, you had an alarm clock, you hit the floor when moms opened the door, you know what I mean, and turned on the light that blinded you for a little bit, you know, set you on your way after washing up, grabbing breakfast, you know, and hit the bus. So thinking from right there, from the moment you leave your house during a time of a novel virus, again, we're still in the middle of dealing with this coronavirus business. It's not like this has just been solved. Okay, yes, kids aren't getting as infected as people of you know, older age or our senior citizens. But that doesn't mean, again, that they can't be asymptomatic carriers to everyone around them. And not to disrespect kids, but kids are pretty gross, man. They be touching things, sneezing and coughing with their mouths wide open and then just touching other stuff. They can be pretty gross. And if you're a parent, I'm sure you know that. Okay, so thinking, what needs to be in place? All right, so when they're leaving the house, just like they've been doing during the pandemic times and heading off to be in crowded spaces with other people, other students, other teachers, administrators, and the bus driver, let's start right there. Need to be protected on the bus. So we have to make sure all bus drivers have the essential tools that they need because they're clearly going to be essential workers. It's going to be necessary that they're able to keep their buses clean, that they feel safe driving, that they have the necessary PPE equipment. Because again, they'll be in a confined space with students, with kids. So yes, there should be masks on buses. I'm all for that. All for it. Okay, getting off of the bus, making sure administrative staff that are herding students in, cafeteria workers that are staffing for breakfast and that are getting staff for lunch, they need to feel protected during their jobs as well, man. Again, think about a school space. Think about the ratio in public schools. If you're like me, again, it wasn't no just 5, 10, 15 students in a class, man. It was usually 20 and up in one classroom. How people are going to be socially distant, I hope other districts take note of things and are doing things like my districts here are. They're at least trying to put barriers in a school between desks. I'm sure kids are going to deface those because that's what kids do. I took part in defacing things in my own heyday, okay. But at least it's some sort of measure. Again, still want to require these masks, still want to try and redo layouts if possible to provide for a little more social distancing. Trying to encourage kids to be complicit with it and not having to force these things, but also not being ignorant and just trying to make everything seem like it's all good, because it's not all good. You start getting relaxed, and that's how you end up in a situation where it just turns into little petri dishes. We don't need more of that with the next generation. We don't want to see a spike in younger kids, man. We don't want that. I think that's a collective thing we could all agree on there. So that again comes back to, what if you don't even want to do that? Understandable. You could be not wanting to do that. I'd hope other counties are having these same sort of deadline meetings that they're having here in mind, where they're discussing options for the upcoming school year, where it's face-to-face, and you just be trying to do the normal thing. Monday through Friday, brick and mortar, or there's a sort of homeroom situation like that happened at the end of the year, or a sort of virtual academy institution. Those are just the different sort of options they're making available here in Duval and St. John's County. You got school-based distance learning, the virtual school, and you got homeschool curriculum, just to afford everybody options. Because you'll have some kids that may have predispositions as far as, you know, themselves or people around them. So being just in school, like it's all gravy, 9 to 5, may not be the thing for them. So again, y'all, make sure you understand the options. If you got kids, if you work around them, make sure you're protecting yourself. Make sure you take the necessary precautions as needed. We all just got to continue to be conscious about these choices, because if we not, they not going to be. So if you're trying to find something to do, I know, again, there are still a lot of things on lockdown, a lot of people not able to shake and move like you might normally, and that's understandable. But if you're interested in verging out the house a little, dipping a toe, as we say here and there, you know, I can give you guys a little list of places that are requiring customers to wear masks inside their stores. All right, we have Apple, Best Buy, Costco, CVS, the Dollar Tree, Publix, Sam's Club, Starbucks, Trader Joe's, Verizon, Walmart, and Whole Foods. All right, anything beyond that, if you got something different in your area, you might want to look that up and check before you make that move. But that's at least a list of places that at the timing of this recording, which is, what's today? Today's Friday, July 17th. At this point in time, that's the complete list. Again, Whole Foods, Walmart, Verizon, Trader Joe's, Starbucks, Sam's Club, Publix, Dollar Tree, CVS, Costco, Best Buy, and Apple. They require face masks, so there you have it. So for your entertainment in music, some albums I've been listening to, definitely got to recommend that Fresh Veggies 2, the long-awaited duet project, or duo project, if you will, between Casey Veggies and Rocky Fresh. Definitely been listening to that. For the summer, a little three-piece EP from my boy Les, definitely a favorite. I feel like that man's the GOAT of three-piece EPs. He really be doing that. He's got a project with Bun B coming out, I believe, later this summer, so that's going to be something to look forward to. Shoot for the Stars, Aim for the Moon, the Pop Smoke post his death album. You know, hate that the young man was cut down short, because that album was really showing some growth, and it's exciting to see that from that first project to the second one. So, you know, rest in peace, Pop Smoke, still. Golden Hour by Baby Rose for that R&B tip. Life on Earth, a little EP from Summer Walker, you know what I'm saying? Definitely a nice one. Had to throw that in rotation as well. So those are just some albums for your consideration for your entertainment. In sports, the NBA is back. I repeat, the NBA is back. July 30th, the NBA kicks off again. They're having this whole bubble system in Orlando. So I guess, you know, Florida was just so gracious and accepted the willing invitation to do that as these cases go nuts. But they have their systems in place of daily pickups, testing, isolation. If you contract it, you're out of there. A lot of the players getting tested on the way there had to stop because they came back positive. Now they're out, like Russell Westbrook for the Rockets, Eric Bledsoe for the Bucks. You already also have injuries taking place because these cats have been not in basketball conditioning or shape or out playing for months. Rajon Rondo, 6 to 8 weeks with a finger injury. Unfortunate for my Lakers. Zion had to leave the bubble for an urgent family matter. So, you know, it's a lot, man. It's going to be very interesting to see how this all shakes out. I hope we get some good competitive games. I think, you know, not having fans aside, if you just are a purist and just want the sport back, you're happy in that capacity. The whole fans not being there is totally something secondary. And so I just hope that the competition, as of course the season, you know, progresses along. I hope the games get better. Because again, man, these are people that haven't been hooping for a hot little minute. Yeah, they're getting together, getting back to it now. But going to be interesting to see the quality of competition in that first week or so. And how it all plays out with people getting, you know, tested. And if they end up coming up more positive. Because basketball, man, it's such a close contact sport. I mean, come on, man. You're pushing all up against people, breathing all on them, and blocking, charging, rebounding. Come on, man. You know what it is. So, going to be interesting to see how that plays out as teams, you know, get eliminated or find out that they have no hopes with this abbreviated schedule of making the playoffs. Will they care about the games? I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what the integrity in the sport looks like. But we'll see it, you know, in all of its glory, I suppose. Starting July 30th on Thursday, Lakers at the Clippers, of course, and the fucking Utah Jazz versus the Pelicans, kicking off on TNT. Gonna be interesting to see. In other sports news, the NFL is trying to gear itself up for the fall. You've had signings going on all offseason still. The franchise tag deadline just passed. Some headlines from that. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys did not come to a long-term deal, so he's on the franchise tag this year. But, hey, man, if for 1 year of a job I get paid $30-plus million and it's all going to be guaranteed, I might take that too just to see how this plays out. Even though you will have some advocate for, hey, you could have had a 5-year deal with in excess of however many millions. He wanted a 4-year deal, and apparently there was a point of disconnect between the two sides on that. So that's that man's business. I don't be counting another man's pockets. So get your money, black man, get your money. In other news, the Washington unnamed team is going through its own issues as far as finally removing that terrible name that they had carried this entire century. And all of a sudden, I guess now, in the midst of a lot of corporations placating to the social justice movement, they're deciding, you know what, maybe we don't want to be so offensive after all. But you're not just skating off on that, because this week we also have more news from this same unnamed Washington team, where you have a surplus of 15 or more previous employees, all being female, accusing various leaders of the organization of some sort of sexual harassment and or misconduct. So that's going to be a ever evolving story, which may sound like it could simply go away at any given time. But if you've been paying attention to how these things sometimes play out in getting justice of sorts, often a lot of head people in charge get chopped off. So Dan Snyder, the current owner of said unnamed Washington team, could be on his way out. If this was all going rampant upon under his tenure, and A, you either knew and did nothing, or B, were ignorant and not knowing or not listening to potential issues, it's not a good look. And that concludes episode 18, the upside down season of the official Dom J Radio Show. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all that social media stuff. Y'all know that it is much appreciated for that. In the meantime, in between time, make sure you drink plenty of water, stay informed, get plenty of rest. You know what I'm saying? Don't let these crazy times turn you into somebody you're not. You know what I'm saying? Perseverance is always key. In the meantime, in between time, y'all, peace.